Paresham of others. He four. Guneshu in the qualities. Sadavaha. Sadhus. Ridanti. Finds. Kachit. Some. Na. Not. Bhavadrachaha. Like you. Dvija. Oh, twice born. Gunan. Qualities. Cha. And. Phalgun. Small. Bahuli Karishnavaha. Greatly magnifies. Mahatamaha. The greatest persons. Teshu. Among them. Avadat. Find. Bhavan. You. Agam. The fault. Translation. Twice born Daksha, a man like you can simply find fault in the qualities of others. Lord Shiva, however, not only finds no faults with others' qualities, but if someone has a little good quality, he magnifies it greatly. Unfortunately, you have found fault with such a great soul. So you can repeat, twice born Daksha.
A man like you
can simply find fault
in the qualities of others.
Lord Shiva, however,
not only finds no faults
with others' qualities,
but if someone has a little good quality,
he magnifies it greatly.
Unfortunately, you have found fault
with such a great soul.
So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki.
Sure. King Daksha is addressed here by his daughter Sati as Dvija, twice born. Twice born refers to the higher classes of men, namely the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. In other words, a Dvija is not an ordinary man, but one who has studied the Vedic literature from a spiritual master and can discriminate between good and bad. Therefore, it is supposed that he understands logic and philosophy. Sati, Daksha's daughter, put before him sound arguments. There are some highly qualified persons who accept only the good qualities of others. Just as a bee is always interested in the honey in the flower and does not consider the thorns and colors, highly qualified persons who are in common accept only the good qualities of others, not considering their bad qualities, whereas the common man can judge what are good qualities and what are bad qualities. Among the uncommonly good souls, there are still gradations, and the best good soul is one who accepts an insignificant asset of a person and magnifies that good quality. Lord Shiva is also called Ashutosh, which refers to one who is satisfied very easily and who offers to any person the highest level of benediction. For example, once a devotee of Lord Shiva wanted the benediction that whenever he touched someone on the head, that person's head would at once be separated from his trunk. Lord Shiva agreed, although the benediction asked was not very commendable because the devotee wanted to kill his enemy. Lord Shiva considered the devotee's good quality in worshiping and satisfying him and granted the benediction. Lord Shiva accepted his bad qualities as magnificently good qualities. But Sati accused her father, "You are the opposite. Although Lord Shiva has so many good qualities and no bad qualities at all, you have accepted him as bad and found fault with him. Because of your accepting his good qualities to be bad, instead of your becoming the most exalted soul, you have become the most fallen. A man becomes the greatest soul by accepting the goodness of others' qualities, but by unnecessarily considering others' good qualities to be bad, you have become the lowest of the fallen souls." Doshan Pareshan He Guneshu Sadavo Grananti Kechena Bhavadrisho Dvija Gunam Chapalgun Bahuli Karishnavo Mahatamas Teshvavidad Bhavan Agam. So Om Ganat Vidanda Shat Gananjana Shlakya Chakshud and Miritam Yenatas Mai Shi Gurvena Maha. Of course, the word dvija can be understood in two ways here, sort of a humorous way. It also refers to a bird. It's the same word for bird. Bird means, just like the dvija, jayate, dvi. Dvi in Sanskrit means two, and jayate means to be born. So a Brahmin is called dvija because he has a second birth. Second birth is the initiation, you know, when he gets the samskara. And a bird is considered to be twice born. Why? Does anyone know? Because first his mother lays the egg, plop, and then the egg hatches. So there's two births for a bird. Interesting, isn't it? So indirectly, she's saying you're like a bird. Anyway, so there's like an insult in indirectly in this particular verse, which is really interesting. Anyway, so the main topic here is the topic of great souls magnifying someone's good qualities, and people who are not such great souls, depending on their level, not magnifying the good qualities, or just seeing good and bad, or even if they're lower, magnifying the bad qualities. That happens sometimes, you know. What is that called? It's called fault finding. Or, Prabhupada didn't give the example here, but he gave the example in other places, like the flies. The flies, they're looking for sores or stool, and the bees, they're looking for the nectar in the rose or in the flower without considering, you know, the bee doesn't say, hey, this flower has a stupid thorn in it. You know, it doesn't matter to the bee. There's nectar in there. You understand? So that's the example that Srila Prabhupada uses. So it's very interesting. There's many scriptural and practical examples of both types of personalities. And I was thinking about this. Like, for example, someone who magnifies the bad qualities would be someone like Shishupal. Like, you had Shishupal, he was born to offend Krishna. And there was this Rajasuya sacrifice. Rajasuya sacrifice is a sacrifice made by someone who's going to be the emperor. That was Maharaj Yudhisthira. And during the Rajasuya sacrifice, one of the first things they do is the worship of the most respectable personality. And so this devotee, Sahadev, who was the son of Kunti, actually son of Madri. Anyway, so he said that Krishna is the most respectable personality. Obviously, I mean, doesn't take much brains to figure that out. But Shishupal, he had so many arguments, including the one, you know, like Krishna was born in a Vaishya family. There's a so-called fault of Krishna, isn't it? He's born in a Vaishya family. Actually, that's not a fault. And actually, in one sense, Krishna is a Kshatriya family. It says when the Lord descends, he comes down in the Surya Vamsa or Soma Vamsa. Surya means sun dynasty. Soma means the moon dynasty. And he comes down generally in a Kshatriya line. I mean, there's exceptions. Like, you don't find Lord Bor coming down in a Kshatriya line. He comes down in a different type of line. Anyway, so the point being is that he's just taking something that was insignificant. You know, Krishna's a Vaishya. And actually, even he was found that in the case of the Yajnik Brahmanas. When Krishna wanted to beg some food from the Yajnik Brahmanas, he told his coward boyfriends, you ask in the name of Balaram. Why? Because they wouldn't want to give charity to a Vaishya. Maybe they'd give charity to a Kshatriya. Not usually. But they wouldn't want to give charity to a Vaishya. So there is an example of just like looking for little faults. And not even a fault. It's not even a fault of Krishna's advice. I mean, it's nice. Krishna Gauraksha Vanijan, Vaishya Karma, Svabhavajam. It's interesting how Krishna's name refers to cows. Krishna. It just says in the Bhagavad Gita that the Vaishyas, they engage in cow protection in Krishna's name, actually, Krishna. It means that which attracts and also has something to do with cows, too, which is interesting. So anyway, so and Krishna's topmost planet is a planet of Vaishyas. The Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavan, you basically have Vaishyas running around. Coward boys and coward girls. And, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they're all Vaishyas, and they're the most exalted. The most exalted devotees of all time are Vaishyas. The gopis. Vaishya family. So anyway, so looking for faults like that, which is really interesting. So let's take the opposite examples, because it's not so pleasing to hear about the example of someone looking for faults like that. Or I'll give one more example. Like Prabhupada gave the example of a man who had an enemy, and his enemy became the Supreme Court judge, and Prabhupada said that the person said about his enemy who became a Supreme Court judge, he may be a Supreme Court judge, but he's not getting any salary or something like that. You know, just looking for little, tiny, little imperfections, so-called imperfections. So that's the mentality, the lowest mentality. Now, the highest mentality is exhibited by Krishna and his devotees, where if someone even does one little thing right, then Krishna's devotees give them all mercy. Just one little thing right. I mean, just, I'm thinking one example with Prabhupada. There's many examples, but let's give a Prabhupada example first. That when Prabhupada was preaching at 26 Second Avenue, and he was preaching, you know, nicely there, and then in walks in, you know, a man who was semi-drunk, or completely drunk, or semi-drunk, whatever, and he brings some toilet paper in. And he goes into the bathroom. Of course, that's where toilet paper belongs. And he puts the toilet paper in the bathroom. And then he walks out. And, you know, everyone's thinking, oh, you know, what is this creep coming in for? And Prabhupada said he has done service. Prabhupada actually commented on it and accepted that particular service. Interesting, isn't it? This little thing, you know, bringing toilet paper in. Of course, that's something called the Jata Sukriti, which is really what Krishna does for us and for everybody, that if people engage in devotional service or somehow or other serving devotees, without even knowing it, they get spiritual advancement. They come closer to Krishna. Like Prabhupada would say, you know, referring to the sweet ball, they take a Simply Wonderful. Everybody knows what a Simply Wonderful is. I haven't eaten them in like 30 years, but anyway. But if someone takes a Simply Wonderful, then they'll come to the temple, and sooner or later they'll become Simply Wonderful, Prabhupada said. Because the devotees commented in that regard that Prabhupada was Simply Wonderful, and Prabhupada said, oh, that's okay. So, you know, there's an example of so many examples of Ajata Sukriti, and insofar as ourselves are concerned, you know, just like someone distributed or gave me a Krishna book. And I read the Krishna book and I kept remembering the stories. And then eventually, you know, I couldn't forget the pastime of Krishna stealing the butter and feeding it to the monkeys. And eventually here I am, he was a sannyasi. You know, little did I know when I picked up that Krishna book, I'd be sitting here, you know, completely renounced from all the things that I was attached to before and giving class in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just by little service like that, you know, insignificant service. Or someone who takes a book, gives a donation. You know, insignificant, or opens a door for a devotee. Or chants the holy names without even meaning they're chanting the holy names. You know, derisively, making fun, actually. Jokingly, by accident. Like the Prabhupada said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, and Haridas Thakur, quoting Haridas Thakur, that if a Muslim says, Haram, how horrible. Because a Muslim, he was quoting the story of a Muslim being attacked by a boar. That doesn't mean a boring person, but a boar, a big pig. And the Muslim said, Haram, Haram, Haram. And then he became liberated. And he began his devotional service. I mean, that's pretty cool, isn't it? Or a Jamil. I mean, a Jamil was just calling out for his son. I mean, that's it. He was an ocean of bad qualities. I'm showing my position. Looking for fault. I mean, Najami was an ocean of bad qualities. How could you get any lower than that? You know, he neglected his father, took the money his father had earned for him, neglected his father, practically tortured his father, got rid of his good wife, shacked up with a prostitute. No, if you don't know what shacked up means, you know that means lived illicitly with a prostitute, had children by the prostitute, did so many criminal activities to please the prostitute. Huh? So what was the good quality? Practically nothing. Insignificant. And then what happened? At the time of death, he was crying Narayan. Interesting. One little thing, little. Insignificant, practically speaking, isn't it? One little thing, and then he got Krishna consciousness. Not immediately. He had to work on it a little bit. I mean, the story is that the Vishnudutas came down, saved him from the Yamadutas, and then he got another lease on life, a new lease on life. He got some opportunity to perform devotional service. It's interesting. I mean, there's so many examples of this. And then in Krishna's pastimes, actually wonderful examples, there's that story that there was a thief, and he heard about this guy in Vrindavan who had all this jewelry. And, you know, he heard and said, you have to go to Vrindavan to find this. So all he was thinking of was Krishna indirectly, you know, Krishna as the possessor of jewelry, because he was interested in jewelry. And so he was thinking, you know, how can I go to Vrindavan? How can I go to Vrindavan to see Krishna? And then he eventually went to Vrindavan. Eventually, you know, saw Krishna, but then when he saw Krishna, you know, he just said, wow. And then, you know, he approached Krishna with the idea of stealing for him. I mean, talk about Krishna magnifying a good quality like that. And then, anyway, so that's one story. Another story, so many stories have come to mind, is the story of Jagai and Madai. And Jagai and Madai, what good did they do? practically speaking, what happened is, of course, Madai, he hit Lord Nityananda with a pot. Mm-hmm. And Lord Nityananda was bleeding. Lord Chaitanya came, he was very angry. But it turns out that Jagai had stopped Madai from hitting him a second time. So, you know, that was the one good thing he did. He actually stopped him and said, stop. And then Lord Nityananda said, well, Jagai, you know, he protected me. And Lord Chaitanya said, all right, he can have love of God, he's forgiven. And then, of course, Madai at that particular point, you know, fell on the ground. And he said, hey, what about me? We're like two souls in one body. I mean, I'm saying one soul in two bodies, got it backwards. One soul and two bodies. So, you know, how can you just liberate him and not me? How can you free him from all of his offenses and not me? And Lord Chaitanya said to Lord Nityananda, do you accept him too? And Lord Nityananda said, yes. So then they were both liberated at that particular point. So there's another story. You know, there's so many stories in Krishna's pastimes. Oh, what to speak of that Sarpanaka. Actually, it's an interesting story. Sarpanaka, that means she with the long tiger nails. Actually, nowadays the women can buy nails that are called tiger nails. Did you ever see that? They actually call it tiger nails. You can look it up on the internet. You'll see I'm right. They can put tiger nails on their fingers. So she had long willowing nails. I mean, that not only tiger nails, they weren't even straight. They were just like... Anyway... They look like something out of Macbeth or some witch's story or something like that. Anyway, so Sarpanaka approached Ram and Lakshman with some lusty desires. And then they were teasing her. And eventually she got a nose job and some other things chopped off of her body. And she wanted to kill him. And so then, so you think, oh, that's not the end of the story. Then she took birth again as who? What? Kubja. Right? And Kubja, she approached Krishna, of course. Anyway, we know Krishna straightened her up and she gave the sandalwood pulp that was meant for Kamsa. But she approached Krishna with lusty desire. I want to enjoy this. You know, this lust, it's not a pure desire to want to enjoy Krishna. You know, if you see this handsome young guy and you want to enjoy him, it's a lusty desire. It's still the enjoying spirit, but still Krishna purified her. And then Krishna came to her home. And she actually had a pretty bad occupation. She was a prostitute. You know, what is it called? The world's oldest occupation or something like that? Yeah, that's what they say. The world's oldest business, prostitute business. So anyway, so she was liberated then. What? And then also you have Bali Maharaj's sister. So, you know, I'm just trying to exhibit or give some examples as how Krishna, his incarnations and his devotees take someone's, you know, little good quality and amplify it. So you have Bali Maharaj's sister. What happened was that Bali Maharaj, of course, he had taken away the heavenly planets from Indra. And as a result, Lord Vamana appeared. Lord Vamana came to Bali Maharaj's sacrificial arena. And when Bali Maharaj's sister saw Lord Vamana, she felt so much maternal affection for him that she prayed to the Lord, "Let me become his mother." And so she had this very strong maternal affection. But then, when Lord Vamana did what he came to do, which was to trick Bali Maharaj or to take everything away from Bali Maharaj, what happened? She said, "I may be his mother, but I want to kill him." So she had like mixed desires. Talk about mixed desires. I mean, I don't think we get too many people in the Krishna conscious movement who have mixed desires. You know, I want to kill Krishna. I love him. You know, anyway, mixed maternal. That's an interesting mixture, isn't it? Isn't it very interesting? Maternal mixed with violence. So that's a unique situation. Anyway, so she was thinking like that. Oh, I want to kill this guy. He cheated my brother. So then she took birth as who? Putana. Then she took birth as Putana. And Putana, he's a poisonous person, or hellish person. Put can also mean hell as well as poison. Anyway, so, and then she was sent by her boss, Kamsa, to kill Krishna, and she was killing all the... Not only was she trying to kill Krishna, but she had killed so many other kids. I mean, talk about sin. Agam, you know, Papa. She went around Vrindavan killing all these poor little babies. Anyone who was born around that time, she just went and suckled them, and then the kid died. You know, it's not, you know, that's just the end of the story where Krishna kills her. But right before that, she was going around and all the parents were crying all over the place in Vrindavan because the kids were dead. The newborn babies were all dead right after this lady visited them. Anyway, so she went to the house of Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, and of course the demons, at least the traditional demons, they always had the ability to change their form at will. Which is nice, isn't it? They can look like anything they want. You know, I mean, even Sirpanaka, she looked like a beautiful girl when she approached Ram and Lakshman. She didn't look like an ugly old witch. So this Putana, she made herself so beautiful. That, I mean, she just like, no one could resist her. So she went into the house of Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, Gokul. This is in Gokul at that time. Later on, they went to Vrindavan and then Nandagram. But Gokul is where they started out everything. And then later, they left Gokul because they figured too many demons are coming here. You understand? They were in Gokul and said, this place is definitely not auspicious, you know. one demon after another. I mean, let's go to Vrindavan. But then Vrindavan, they had one demon after another. And then he moved to Nandagram, and there was still one demon after another. So wherever they went, there were always demons. And Krishna was always saving the day. So anyway, she approached Krishna. Actually, she went to Mother Yashoda and said, can I suckle this little baby Krishna? And Mother Yashoda said, oh, what a nice lady. She looks just like a demigoddess. Certainly there could be no harm. So she picked up Krishna, and Krishna closed his eyes. And the acharyas say there's many different reasons. First of all, one reason is he was giving her instruction. Another reason is he didn't want to see the woman. You know, Krishna doesn't like to kill women so much. He likes to kill men, but not women as much, because he's Vedic. So Krishna closed his eyes because he didn't want to see her. Anyway, there's so many different reasons like that. So then what happened is that Krishna sucked her breast along with the poison and the life errors, and she died. And then she lost her ability to assume different forms. And the Krishna book said that she was like 8 miles long. 8 miles long, and then the resident. And in other words, she expanded immediately. And when she expanded, all the trees and the everything, you know, the houses and everything were just like crushed. You can imagine someone is normal size, like 5-6 feet tall, and all of a sudden they're 8 miles long. It's just like an atomic bomb there. And then Krishna was playing on her breast there. There's actually deities of that in Vrindavan. It's quite nice. Anyway, so what happened is that Krishna accepted her as his mother. And she went back to the spiritual world. You know, she had all sorts of bad desires and one good desire. Isn't that nice? Isn't that inspiring for us who have some bad desires, a few, not many, or mixed? The Krishna actually is so kind. Hey, Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate. Krishna is an ocean of mercy. So anyway, so that's Krishna. There's many other examples, many other things I thought about. We don't have time to talk about. I mean, there's Haridas Thakur and the prostitute. There's Lord Nityananda and the person who wanted to steal the jewels from Lord Nityananda, and then finally he became a pure devotee. I mean, there's so many stories in the Shastras. But insofar as how this applies to us, we have to learn the art of fanning someone's spark of devotion. I mean, that's really what it means. I mean, oftentimes we do see the bad qualities, and we have all these names for people with bad qualities. We consider someone to be a karmi, a demon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, like that. So that's actually amplifying someone's bad qualities when we give them a designation like that. You know, they may be acting karmically. They may be doing things that are, let's say, a little demoniac or very demoniac, but they're not demons. They're not karmis. They're not rakshasas. They're actually part and parcel of Krishna. And there are brothers and sisters like that. So in other words, when you have a family member, then you really, if you really love your family member, like if you love a kid, just like yesterday, there was a temple meeting. And devotees were talking about how people had left diapers and, you know, filled with whatever they fill with in the bathroom over there, and how when the devotee was cleaning up, they threw up. But I was thinking that when the mother did that, she wasn't throwing up, right? I don't think so. Most mothers don't. Fathers do sometimes. I mean, my father changed my diapers once, and that was it. But mothers don't. Mothers just like, in the Bhagavatam, it's practically described as like sandalwood pulp. I mean, just we had one household couple that the child, you know, put his hand in the diapers, wrote on the wall, you know, finger painting. And the mother said to the father, look what your son has done. It's very nice. You know, he's artistic. So she was seeing, can you imagine that? She was seeing the good qualities, you know, finger painting on the wall with stool. But the father was completely disgusted. So what does that mean as far as we're concerned? That if there's affection and seen in terms of the family relationship, then you actually see someone's good qualities. If you see someone as an outsider, someone not relating to you, then there's a tendency to, you know, to look for their bad fault, you know, to exclude them. Like that, to use language that's exclusive. We don't mean exclusive in the sense of special, but excluding language. And if you see someone as related to you, then there's, oh, it's little Johnny, you know. He may be blind, but he has lotus eyes anyway. Anyway, these are examples given in the material world. So we have that spiritual family consciousness, then we can also begin to see like that. And Krishna sees like that. He says that everyone, mame vangsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanam manashakshtani indriyani prakriti sani karshati. He says all the living entities in this world are my parts and parcels. Mame vamsa, they are mine. So Krishna has the possessive sense. You understand? Mam evamsa jiva loke. In this world, jiva bhuta is not, they're eternal. Anyway, so we have to end. So all glorious to Srila Prabhupada. All glorious to Shri Bhagavatananda.